Praise God. I want to preach a simple message tonight, but one I feel like the Lord gave me. John chapter 21 and verses 9 through 12. And it's good to see all of you here tonight in the house of the Lord. Praise God. John chapter 21 and verse 9. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals. Now this is right after they caught all these fish, 153. And the net was not broken, and here they come to land. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of fishes, great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? I just want to focus on those three words right there, come and dine. Come and dine. Amen. They could have rejoiced and had a great time and all of that, skinning 153 fishes. Talked about how hard it was to pull them in. All of the fish stories, you know, fishermen have fish stories. Amen. But Jesus wasn't so interested in the fish, even though he was, because that was their living. He was more interested in sitting down with them around the fire and eating dinner with them, talking to them, being in their presence, amen, and them being in his presence, because the Lord loves his children.
Amen.
The Lord loves his children. And I want to try tonight in my feeble way to pass this on to you somehow or another, how much God wants to just come and dine with us. Praise God. He's not impressed by how many times we run the aisles. Not impressed by how many verses we have read today. Even though these things are important and we involve ourselves in these things. Praise God. But what he's interested in is somebody that will just say, Lord, would you come and just sit down with me for a while? I've got some things I want to talk to you about. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together right now. Father, I thank you for the touch of your spirit that I feel tonight. Thank you for the blessing of your presence. I pray, Lord, that you will help me to transfer what you've given to me in the word into the hearts of each and every one that's here tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can be seated tonight. You know, I think what we need is to take the time to understand the Lord's desire to be close to people. Amen. I will include those that are not saved, because I can look back and see the hand of the Lord in my life before I received the Holy Ghost, before I was born again. But how much more does the Lord want to be in the presence of the people that he is going to spend eternity with? But whether saved or not, the Lord wants passionately to be close to us, as close as possible. And it's easy for us to think that the Lord doesn't care about the little things in our lives. And there's a lot of little things that sometimes the young people look at as big things, and sometimes there are things in adults' lives that we look at as big things, but the Lord looks at it and just kind of smiles and says, we're going to make it through this together. Praise God. What we need is not to think that the Lord doesn't care about the little things that we face in life, but that he is intimately involved with us. Amen. To fill us with his spirit, to wash away our sins, amen, gives us a hint or a glimpse tonight of God's great, passionate desire to be among his people. And we can start out in the very beginning, and Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And we can see that everything was initiated by the Lord himself. Genesis 2 and verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. God planted a garden. And I've been to some gardens, and they're very beautiful. There's one in Wichita, very beautiful gardens, flowers and everything set up a certain way so they look pretty. But I don't think that it would even come close to the garden that the Lord fixed. Amen. It was a beautiful garden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And so we see that the time that the Lord spent, however much it was, planting that garden, who knows how large it was. It was probably endless sites of beautiful plants. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We know the tree of life there in the midst of the garden. I missed that part. But we understand tonight, when we look at this, we need to understand that the Lord planted this garden for the specific purpose of putting the man in the middle of the garden. Amen. Amen. Not so much so that he would have to work to maintain what God did, even though he was there to keep and to dress the garden. But I believe that the Lord, in his love, and if you've ever loved someone with all of your heart, there's no expense that's too much. Amen. If it's for a grandchild or for someone that you love, one of your children or whatever the situation is, a friend. Amen. There's really no cost involved, as it were, to bless them and to show them and to do it to see a smile come upon their face. Amen. And for them to get a thrill and an excitement. Amen. I think probably grandparents do that more than anybody. Amen. Amen. And if they stop smiling, we're looking at other things we can get them to make them smile. And they're just the greatest thing in all of the world. Praise God. Got to FaceTime a little bit today, and my grandson was singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He is weak, but he is strong, and he puts his little fist down like he's going to crush something. And it thrills your heart, amen. Parents are a little bit different, you know. If I had my ruthers, I'd have had my grandchildren first, praise God. Then have my children, but it doesn't work that way. Amen. And when you look at the desire that we have, we were made in the image of God, amen? Amen. We were made in the image of God, and the emotions that we have and the characteristics that we have, we can also see many of them in the Lord God. In us is lust, but in the Lord there is not lust. In us there is sin, but in him there is no sin. But when it comes to the different emotions that we have, God gets angry just like we get angry. Amen. God gets happy just like we get happy. God loves just like we love. Amen. And there is that thing in us that is in the Lord because he created us in his image. And I believe that the garden was created to make Adam just make his breath go away. He wanted to see what was the reaction of Adam. He wanted to bless him so greatly that he planted a garden and gave it to the man. Verse 16 and verse 17, let's go to these two verses as well. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so he gave Adam everything to freely eat. If he wanted a banana, go ahead and have a banana. Amen. Whatever you want. If it's not there, we'll plant it for you. Praise God. We'll go to Walmart and get it for you. We'll go to Dillon's and get it for you. Whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you because I want you to be happy. Praise the Lord. And he put in the midst of the garden the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so we understand then, or we can see in the scripture, that God initiated this closeness first of all, and then there was the commandment. Because what the Lord knows and what we need to see is that friendship and love are a two-way street. Amen. It is not one person giving somebody everything they want. That's not really healthy for a long-term relationship, but it has to be a give and a take. Amen. And the Lord was giving here, but then the Lord said, oh, by the way, here's what makes me happy. What makes me happy is when you forsake the evil and you come to me. Amen. You say, well, why did he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Or, if you would say it this way, the tree of death. Why would he put that in the garden and then put the serpent in there to tempt man? Well, it comes down to a simple answer tonight, and that, of course, is the power of choice. We have the power of choice. And the Lord knows that any true relationship, any deep relationship, any kind of intimate relationship demands that both sides of the relationship have a commitment into that relationship. Well, praise the Lord. Can't be a one-way street because it just doesn't work that way. And Jesus said it in John 14 and verse 15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I want to ask us tonight, do we love the Lord? Amen. Do we really love him? And God wanted to know, Adam, do you love me? He wanted to know, Peter, do you love me? Time and time again, well, how do I know that you love me? How do I know that you are committed to me and we're going to have a deep, wonderful, joyful, intimate relationship with each other? And it comes back down to this obedience to the commandments of God. And so he gave them that opportunity. He gave them the chance to make a choice and to say, I will choose the tree of life, even though it probably was ugly, and over the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or the tree of death, if you want to call it that. I'm going to pick the good over the bad because I love God. David said that the Lord does things for us for his name's sake. Amen. And when we serve God, we're not serving God. We should not be serving God. To just see what we can get out of it. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm not going to go a long time here tonight, but I do have a number of scriptures. Amen. I want to examine them and look at them. Are y'all listening here tonight?
Amen.
All right. Well, let's just work on it a little bit more. Amen. There is a power of choice that God gave to us because the Lord is not interested in a bunch of robots in heaven.
Right. Amen.
He's not interested in somebody making us worship him or serve him or live for him. He's not interested in that. Who would want that? Well, the only person that would want that would be some dictator like the leader of China or the leader of North Korea or those leaders in Russia. That you are there for their fulfillment And literally, North Korea is probably working for that one man, for his fulfillment and for his joy and all of that. And it's not a relationship. There is no relationship there. There is no love. There is just domination. And the Lord could dominate each and every one of us, and He does in His power and wisdom and strength and all of those attributes. But the Lord has made it available to you and I to have a personal relationship with Him. Think about that tonight. That's awesome. That is powerful. And He wants to dine with us. He wants to sit down and talk to us. And so Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Now, how could you hear the voice of the Lord God walking? Was the voice walking? No, God was moving through the garden. And as He went through the garden, you could hear Him say, "Adam, Adam, where are you?" And silence came, and he thought, maybe he's over here. We know God knew where they were all the time. But it was a show of love and desire. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, some of you, well, all of you love your children. We all love our children. And if all of a sudden your child, you're at the store and you turn around and they're gone, what happens in your heart? All of a sudden, there's a panic that rises up within you. We were at Dillard's Outlet, and my little grandson got free from his little car. We should have strapped him in like a rocket ship or something. And he got away, and when he got away, he took off a running as fast as he could. And it had been quite a while since I've really run, but I'm telling you what, Grandpa put one foot in front of the other. And we were moving down the road. That little guy was gone before you could blink an eye. And I grabbed him up, amen, and thank God that he didn't get away. Praise the Lord. Where is that little rascal? And you could just imagine what the Lord was thinking when he said, "Adam, where are you?" Adam and his wife hid themselves. Now that makes it even worse. Amen. Somebody that you love, somebody that you care about, a friend of yours. I remembered in school, in grade school, you know, grade schoolers do that a lot. And if you're in grade school, that's okay, it's normal, amen. But the kids will come home at the end of the day and they'll have about a 30-minute to an hour testimony of what happened at school today, who got mad at who, and who's not their friend anymore, and then their enemy yesterday is now their friend. And that's just about how it works. But here the Lord's coming through the garden amongst the trees of the garden, and you can hear Him saying, "Adam, where are you?" Silence. "Adam, Adam, where are you? I want to talk to you again. We had a good conversation yesterday. I want to talk to you," but it was nothing but silence. And the Lord came upon them, and Adam said, God said, what you been doing? And Adam said, well, Lord, we hid ourselves because we were naked, and you know the rest of the story. And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, and yet the Lord still desired that close relationship. Amen. And when the Lord walked through the garden, when He was going through the garden to look for Adam, you could say to yourself, well, why did the Lord make the garden, and why was He walking through the garden? Was He interested in having a relationship with a tree or an animal? No, but He came for the specific reason of just sitting down somewhere in the garden. Maybe the Lord said, like you do to some of your friends, hey, let's go out to such and such place and get something to eat. There were probably hundreds of places where they could sit down and they could talk to each other. Different sceneries, maybe this hillside or something. And the Lord wanted desperately to sit down with Adam another time and to talk to him and for his creation to talk back to him. Amen. And in the past, Adam took off time. He was there to dress and to keep the garden, so he was obviously busy through the course of the day. And yet Adam was willing and took off time right in the middle of his day to sit down and to visit with the Lord. Amen. And he no doubt saw all of the different things that excited him. And because he was a human, he had fears, he had loneliness, he had all of those things. He had a desire for companionship. And there was such a close relationship between him and the Lord that Adam did not fear to tell the Lord everything that was in his heart. Amen. Think about that tonight. There was nothing in his heart that he was not willing to hold back from God. And he spent the time to do that. And the Lord understood, and the Lord did not rebuke Adam when he expressed his loneliness and desire for companionship. The Lord wanted to bless this man that he loved so much. He wanted to give him something that would help him for the rest of his life. And the Lord said, you know, Adam, it's not good that you're alone. You've expressed to me your desire. You've expressed to me your frustrations. Amen. You've expressed to me your heart of hearts and how you feel about certain things. Adam, I want to take care of that. And here, I want to put an IV in your arm, and I'm going to put you to sleep. Praise the Lord. Well, he didn't do it exactly that way. But it was the very first surgery in history, and he put Adam out. And you say, well, surgery's not of the Lord. I disagree with that. God did it to Adam. Amen. Amen. And when Adam woke up, there she was. Praise the Lord. And the Lord said, here she is. Here is your companion. And Adam's breath was taken away. Amen. And he fell in love with this woman that God had given to him. And the Lord was not really worried so much about losing the relationship with Adam. I think the Lord was really excited that now he had someone else with Adam to worship him and to have a close relationship with him. Amen. God is not a selfish God tonight, but the Lord will accept and receive many, many, many into his kingdom. Praise God. Well, praise God. And Genesis 2 and verse 18, here's the scripture I just was talking about. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. He was involved. Adam was involved with God. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And then it says that he brought her unto him. I won't read all the whole scripture here. But when Adam and Eve receive this commandment from the Lord, it was up to them to decide how close they wanted to get to God, how close they wanted to get to the lover of their soul. Amen. And folks, I want you to know God has already made up his mind how close he wants to be to us. Amen. But he is waiting for us to show him how close we want to be to him.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. And the love that he had for Adam and Eve is still valid for us today. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world. And our text that we read tonight shows us the love that God has for us. Here the disciples are out on the water and they're fishing. They haven't caught anything. And the Lord said, cast your net out and you're going to have a draught. 153 fishes. And oh my, they were not little bitty ones. They were big ones. And it was the catch of a lifetime. And they had to bring them to shore. The net was not torn, as you've read already. And when they got to the shore, there was a figure. And he was bent over a fire, probably blowing on the sticks. And I've started a lot of campfires. We have spent the night on the river when I was younger. And we could make a fire real quickly. We could prepare our food and fix our food over that fire. And we were really kind of like woodsmen almost at grade school age. And we would go out and spend the whole night, come back the next day. And our parents wouldn't even ask us where we had been.
Amen.
How many's willing to do that today? No hands. All right. Well, praise God. And so they came to the shore. He was starting the fire. He had some fish already, and he had them all laid out on there. Probably had somehow he had it set up where the fish would not burn, and they were cooking, and he didn't make any comments about the fish. He didn't make any comments about anything else. The only thing he said was, come and dine.
Amen.
Sit down. You've been busy. You've been running. You've been doing this and that and the other. Sit down. It's time to sit down. It's time to talk. It's time to spend time with me. I want to hear what you're feeling in your heart. I want you to know what my heartbeat is. I want to just have a communication with you here that is not, like we do so often, where we just repeat things over and over. And we do that in a corporate atmosphere. But I'm telling you, there needs to be a time at the seashore of life, so to speak.
Amen.
That we just stop whatever we're doing. Amen. Come on, somebody, help me tonight.
Amen.
That we just stop what we are doing and we just tell the Lord. We're in our private closet of prayer and we can tell God everything and anything that's in our heart. I want to tell you, that's how you get close to God.
Yes.
That's how you get close to God. It's not a professional prayer. Prayer is communication. Real prayer is communication with God. And the only thing he was interested in was, come on, sit down and let's have something to eat together.
Amen.
Amen. And nothing like pushing your feet under somebody's table. And spending time with that family or with those folks or with that one person. Amen. And we need to take the time to understand God's desire to be around people. Praise God. He saw Zacchaeus in the tree. And he said, come down, Zacchaeus, for I'm going to come to your house. And he was a publican. Amen. I've often thought about it. Scripture doesn't tell us a whole lot. But I wonder what they talked about. I wonder what kind of conversation it was. Too often we think of Jesus as being a million miles away as far as our desires and our needs in life. But I'm telling you tonight, I really feel like when they sat down, there was a conversation. How are you doing, Zacchaeus? How's your family? How are the kids doing? And communication, friendship communication. And if there was not a lot of other people there, I'm sure it would have gotten even more closely more close to his personal and private needs in his life. In Matthew 8 and 14, when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Praise God. There wasn't a revival service that broke out. He laid his hand upon her, healed her, and then probably said, "All right, let's have something to eat." And his mother-in-law made something, brought it to them, and as the custom was that I've read recently, they laid down on a couch when they ate, and it was relaxed, it was a friendship atmosphere, and they sat there and they talked. I don't know what they talked about, but I can just imagine if it's like conversation that we have, it was probably very similar. Amen. If we can see tonight the desire that God has to be close to us. Luke 12, verse 32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure." Everybody said pleasure.
Pleasure.
God is a God who gets pleasure. Amen. Pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. And the kingdom covers an awful lot of area. Matthew 7 and verse 11, "If you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father which is in heaven give good things unto them that ask him?" Somebody said good things. Good thing. It's just a little thing, but God gave that to me. And God gets pleasure, amen, when we ask him for little things in our life. Young person, if you're up against a test, go to God and say, "God, help me with this test."
Amen.
And it's his good pleasure to help you to remember what you studied. Amen. And whatever it is that we need, praise God. Amen. He wants us to express our fears, our desires, our needs, and our wants down, now listen to me tonight, down to the smallest of details. There's nothing too small for God, and there's nothing too big for God. Amen. We need to bring our smallest of desires to him and ask him to meet those needs. Praise the Lord. Here he says in Malachi chapter 3, he said, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." That's how much God loves us. He's going to clear a path in front of us so we can go forward. He said, "And he shall not, this devourer, shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." God gets pleasure when we are blessed. Praise God. God gets pleasure to give us good gifts. Amen. To give us the Holy Ghost. To give us good things. It is in the heart of God to please and to bless his children. Amen. We don't serve a mean God tonight. Well, praise the Lord. Maybe you serve a mean God tonight, but I don't serve a mean God. I serve a God that wants to bless me. Praise the Lord. I serve a God that wants to bless his church. I serve a God tonight that wants to bless sinners. Amen. And bring them to the knowledge of the truth. Praise God. And he says there in verse 10, Malachi 3 in verse 10, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse." And I'm not going to get off onto that. But there again is the commandment. How much and how far do you want to go in this relationship? Do you want to be a casual friend? Do you want to just be an associate? Amen. Or do you want to be a close friend? And so here's what I love. I love my work in the earth, And those that love my work and bless my work, I'm going to come to that person. I'm going to rebuke the devourer. I'm going to bless them, and everybody's going to see that they're blessed by me. Praise God. So we have that opportunity tonight to show him how much we love him. Amen. And is fellowship with the Lord just before services? 30 minutes. I see us looking at our clock sometimes. Well, it's 6:59. It's not prayer time yet. And as soon as 7 o'clock hits, we're praying. And I thank God for those of you that come and pray. I'm not being critical here tonight. I'm really not. But sometimes we can get into the idea that that is what prayer is all about. But it's really not what it's all about. What prayer is all about is stopping, even if it's in the middle of the day, if you have the opportunity. And probably most everybody here tonight has a key to the church. Coming to the church or finding your prayer closet where nobody else is around and spending time with the one that loves you so much.
Amen.
Well, praise God. You'll hear things you've never heard before. You'll feel things you've never felt before. Amen. You will have a cleansing of your spirit when you talk to God like that and get in the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost pray for you. Amen. There is victory. There is anointing. There is blessings.
Amen.
Praise God. How close do you want to get to him? Amen. How close do you want to get to him? What's on your mind, he's saying? What's on your mind? Amen. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. And I guarantee you, you'll feel comfortable as comfortable can be when you get in the presence of God to express your heart to him.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. Doesn't the Bible say that his house shall be called a house of prayer?
Yes.
I love to come to the house of God to pray. And I've got to admit to you tonight, it's probably, I don't know how it is with me, but I don't really get a whole lot about praying in the Sunday school fellowship area. There's something with me when I come to the house of God, I want to go to the sanctuary.
Amen.
I want to go where the people come. I want to go where the preaching is heard. I want to go where God moves in the altar and people are touched. I want to go to that familiar place. And I love Sunday school. We love our children that go to Sunday school. Amen. We really, really do. But I just want to go where God moves, where I've been blessed so many, many times. And I'll tell you, if you'll get used to coming to the house of God for prayer, he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. If you'll get used to coming to the house of God regularly and talking to God, expressing your heart to God, the time will come when you walk through the door, you'll feel his presence. And it will be as though he is saying, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you. I want to share some things with you. I want to hear what you're feeling. I want to know what's in your heart. Praise God. Maybe it's a new concept for some here tonight, but I would like to just encourage you to follow through with what you've heard tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Just follow through and draw near. He said, draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you.
Amen.
That's how close he wants to be, is very, very close. Lord, help us tonight. Touch us, O God. Let your word burn in our hearts. O God, let your word speak to us, find its mark in our hearts tonight. Lord, we lean on you more than anything in all of this world. Let the church be a house of prayer. Let our houses be houses of prayer. Let us pray upon our beds, O God. Let us pray in the car as we travel to work. Lord, let us pray through the course of the day and just talk to you and spend time with you. Help us, Lord. We lean on you tonight. We need you more than anything in all of this world. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give God thanks tonight. Thank you for being so close. Thank God for the closeness that He desires to have with us.